Walter's Rule 3?
I was saying that the DOSKG, of whom I had two, were really the people who kept the guard posts on the European farms going. They trained the chaps in the posts and kept them under constant supervision.
What was your own opinion about the Mau Mau movement and its origins?
That's a leading question. What was my opinion?
About why it started?
Why did it start? I wonder. That's a very difficult question on which people with far greater experience than I have cogitated and pronounced upon ever since as to why it started. I don't think I really in any position to say. What my view is that it was a subversive organization, I think without too much doubt, organized by Kenyatta himself, it had as its basis, I think, the fact that a great many Africans, certainly the Kikuyu Embu Meru group, felt that much of the best agricultural land in Kenya had been stolen by the Europeans. And I should say that the basic reason is probably connected with the alienation of the White Highlands to non-African people. I should think so. But some of the more appalling atrocities that happened were carried out by gangs of straight thugs, I think, not motivated by the Kikuyu policy of theft of tribal lands by non-Africans. I think it was largely these relatively small groups of Africans who went wild and lived in the forests in and around Mount Kenya and merely took advantage of a situation in murdering persons who were holding land which was not theirs. And they certainly succeeded in doing this. A considerable number of European landowners were murdered in revolting manner, including these horrible oathing ceremonies.
What was the law and order situation in Thika District when you took over?
It wasn't very good at all. There were a lot of disaffected Africans wandering about in groups, carrying out theft from European farms, and, as I said, walking in at night and killing people in their homes. That was the sort of situation. It went on quite a big way. But we did get considerable help as a result of what the position as it we got more DOSKG, the police were augmented, and a battalion of British troops was provided. Can't remember who they were. Black Watch? No, not the Black Watch. British troops, anyway, took part in assisting the Kenyan police with their patrols. And, in fact, took part in some of these forest operations.
How effective or ineffective do you think the British troops were in conducting such operations?
After they got, some of them had been there took them 2 or 3 months to get accustomed to dressing up in, and plastering themselves with black paint and wearing filthy clothes and not having proper food. Oh, some of them were extremely good, very good indeed. I think that they probably were responsible for the very, in a year, when the country, when Mau Mau ended now, 55, was it? Well, certainly by 54, we had command of the situation in the Theatre District, I think.
When you got into the district, what were your first steps that you took with regard to getting on top of Mau Mau?
Well, the main thing was the reconstitution of the District Emergency Committee. In addition to the official members, who were police largely, I brought in 4 or 5, the manager of the Canners Pineapple Factory, I brought him in, a man called, I've forgotten his name now. I brought in a number of officials, 5 or 6, farmers, including Paddy Merritt, and people of his thinking. And we were in virtually, at one time, we were in virtually every day session, and sometimes going on into the night.
Were they friendly, or did things get heated?
We took a little time to settle down. One listened to a lot of criticism. But in the end, I think the District Emergency Committee was really very successful.
So, were the European farmers blaming the administration for the situation?
Oh, yes, it did. Very much so. That was the wretched man Windsor had to handle that. I didn't have this frightful problem of people speaking actively and against one, what one was doing. If it started, I used to call the chap in and talk to him on his own. And I was able, I think, to get over it in that way.
What was the...
Anyway, there was no attempt subsequent to Windsor's removal for a similar action to be taken against me. I don't recall any, only one meeting do I remember when there was a near motion, no confidence in Walters, but I found out very quickly that the majority of people in the meeting were not from my district anyway, they're from the adjoining district of Kiambu, and shouldn't have been there.
How many people would attend these meetings?
Oh, there are a lot of people at that particular one, 50 or 60, I should say, in the Ruero Club. But I didn't have the trouble that Windsor had. I don't know why, I'm sure, but I didn't.
What was supposed to be the weakness of the administration as far as the European farmers were concerned?
The farmers' concern was resolved around the thought that the government was were the people who should look after their security, and that there was no case whatsoever for them to get involved in expensive measures on their own farms with their own labour to perform a function of being security people, the district. They didn't like it. They felt it was an abrogation of their function.
When you first got to Theka District, did you have personal conversations with leading Kikuyu chiefs and so on to
Not
get their opinion?
No, I didn't, because Theka District was entirely European. There were no chiefs as such operating. One was bounded on the south by the Kiambu district, on the north by the... Oh, who else was involved? Kiambu... Nyeri district, Ruero. There were no chiefs operating within the boundaries of the Sika district. It was a European farming area, totally. Well, it was a difficulty, this, because one often had occasion to... I used to write to two or three chiefs in the adjoining Kiambu area and say, would they be good enough to attend a meeting of my district emergency committee on a particular series of murders, or and they would come without any difficulty. But as they said, of course, we've got no jurisdiction here, but we're happy to help if we can.
So that meant that the Africans in Theka district didn't have spokesmen?
No, they didn't have anybody in the native authority, no. They could talk themselves, of course, and did. But they didn't have any... they didn't have any members of the native authority because they were out of their own districts.
So what would they say to you?
Well, they would merely express the views of it as individuals. Not backed by their tribal chiefs.
What did
who
they
were
feel?
Not there, even.
Well, what did they feel about the situation?
Well, I think I don't think they really enjoyed being put into the guard posts. They had to be cajoled into this, and this is where the DOSKG became so useful. They were able, because of having each of the DOSKG had a particular series of guard posts as their personal responsibilities, they kept them going. But it was a tricky, difficult task.
But were there any sweeteners for them to take part in it?
Not really, I don't think. Except, of course, that within the guard posts structure, there was no opportunity for outsiders to come and do oathing ceremonies among them. That didn't go on. Oathing virtually came to a stop on most of the farms.
Once a guard post.
Once the guard posts were in being and manned every night.
Were any of the guards attacked and killed?
I think there may have been one or two, but it was a very small number.
What were the worst incidents that occurred under Mau Mau in Theka district whilst you were there?
Oh, there were half a dozen serious murders, including a man called Lyle Shaw, whose body was dug up after burial. And, you know, on the ground that Europeans always buried their dead with their valuables. That's what we were told. It was the reason for this outrageous behaviour. But in fact, his body was chopped to bits. And poor wretched wife had the business of collecting it all up and taking it to burial in Nairobi. Reburial. There were one or two very nasty murders.
But had this chap been murdered by the...
Oh, yes, he had indeed. Mm. But the main problem was were the elderly Europeans. There was one woman, I remember, who lived in a remote part of the district and declined absolutely to take any precautions herself for her own safety. Said that her personal and domestic staff were all loyal and had been working for 40 years, but you know, she was caught out. Her staff were loyal, but they were attacked and prevented from giving her warning that these chaps were coming in, and they went in and chopped her up. There were one or two of those, very unpleasant, until a woman called Mrs. Hesselberger appeared on the scene, who was a dead-eye dick with a pistol. And she sat down every night of her life in her sitting room with a pistol on each arm of the chair. And she did, unknowingly, a great service in boosting morale in the district, because a gang came in, and all she did, without moving from her chair, she picked up her two six-shooters and shot the first two people stone dead, and the rest of them fled. That had an enormously good effect, that a woman had done this.
Did you feel in much personal danger yourself?
Well, my wife used to complain, of course, such was the shortage of police, that I could not have, or rather I told the police commander I wouldn't accept a personal guard on my house, even at night, because of the enormous requirement for all available police to be out on active patrol. So my poor wife was rather upset by this. So I said, well, I'm sorry about it, but I can't divert two or three men to looking after us when nobody else has any such provision. So that I was, whenever one was called out at night, which was quite a lot, it was something of a worry about what happened to one's wife, who admittedly was in the not too far from the office, but nevertheless was capable of being attacked. But she wasn't, thank goodness. We had our dog killed, but
deliberately.
Hmm?
Deliberately.
Oh yes. Mm.
Were you attacked yourself?
No, I wasn't. No, I was never attacked. But I developed a system in, when I was in the Northern Frontier District, and I told people, I never carry a firearm. Anybody who wants to kill me can kill me, without any doubt whatever, but I see no purpose at all in carrying visibly a firearm. And neither in the NFD nor in Theka did I ever visibly carry a firearm. I still think that it was... Anyway.
How long were you in the district for?
I wonder if Aisha remembers. How long...
No.
My tenure of office as District Commissioner Theka ended with Mau Mau in 1955, middle of 1955. I was then posted as District Commissioner to Kuricho in the Nyanza province, which is the Kipsigis Reserve, Kipsigis.
Had they at all been affected by Mau Mau?
No.
When was it that you looked after Jomo Kenyatta?
This is when I was a provincial commissioner. This is the posting after Kuricho. I went, if you want to skip the Kipsigis period.
Unless there's anything you want to say about it.
It's the best station you've ever
had. It was probably the best, she's right, it was probably the most interesting district of any I've been in.
Why was that?
Largely because it was long and thin. At the top northern end, there was a European population of farmers. The whole of the middle was the Kipsigis people, and the south was another area of European occupation, farmers, stock farmers mostly. It was a very happy mixture, because you could shuffle between people and races at any time. The Kipsigis were tremendously keen on developing their agricultural potential, particularly tea. They were very lucky in that their agricultural representative in Theka was a man called Cyril Barwell, an absolutely first-class technical chap who got on with the Kips, as they were called, and it's one of the most prosperous districts in Kenya today, having a well-established African-run tea industry. and coffee, and it was a very happy time for us. Now, I think apart from the fact that it was one of the best districts I ever had, we moved from there in 56 to Isiolo as Provincial Commissioner of the Northern Province.
And that's where you had Kenyatta in your charge?
Well, I suppose it's right to say he was... The reason he was did his imprisonment in the Northern Province was, one, because of the remoteness of the area. And it was well out of the, you know, chances of escape or rescue were totally limited. He was housed in the north part of the... northwest part of the province, a district called Turkana. And I had the job... I only had the job of... Once a month, I used to take an aeroplane into a police, Keeney Police Air Wing. Took me and my provincial doctor up to Turkana, merely to see that Kenyatta was happy as he could be. I mean, he was political dynamite, so he had to be one had to keep a serious eye on the chap. He and his chums, those convicted with him by the Kapunguria magistrate, were all together, and I used to go once a month. The doctor inspected Kenyatta. Thank you. And, you know, one was responsible merely to submitting a report every month that I and the doctor had seen the Mau Mau detainees. They were all in perfectly good health and happy, or that if they had requests, then I recorded them and sent this in once a month. But that was really... I mean, the district commissioner in Turkana had a greater day-to-day contact with Kenyatta and his mates than I had. I merely carried the can, had anything gone wrong.
What impression did he make on you at that time?
Well, he was a benign old man. I got on with Kenyatta very well, as far as it goes. Seeing the juxtaposition was...
I don't know what he was there.
I had no trouble in getting on with the fellow. He was very cooperative, gave nothing away. He's a politician, of great confidence. I didn't have any problems with the fellow at all. What he wanted more than anything was literature to read, you know, to read. Madly keen on Gandhi. I managed to get him a book from Nairobi. Those sort of things were quite simple. But he never gave anything away.
Was this Gandhi's writings?
Yes, Gandhi's writings, particularly when he was in India, in South Africa. But one never got anywhere. You know, he used to slide off any discussion, even mention of Kapunguria and the trial, or the whole business of Mau Mau. I mean, he didn't declined absolutely to discuss such things.
Did he seem to be anti-British?
No, he didn't. I think this is one of the main things that he made after his release, when he made several of those speeches, one in the Thika district, incidentally, when he said, you know, if you will play ball with us, we'll play ball with you, and we'll give you Kenyan nationality, and so forth. No, I would say it was far from being anti-British, and there was a time when undoubtedly he was, but at the time we're now talking about, the 1960 to 63 period, just before his release, he was certainly not anti-British.
What other things did he read?
Well, he had a lot of stuff that supplied to him by the education department, but it's the political feat of men of the age, not only Gandhi. He was did an enormous lot of writing. Did a lot of writing. Did an awful lot of reading, but an entirely admirable prisoner. I mean, he's deferential, pleasant, always full of humour.